It seems that throughout Christian history, we have always been convinced that we're living in the last days. Some people will say, eventually we'll be right. I say, we've always been right. The Scripture has taught that we are in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. The writer to the Hebrews says, long ago, at times, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In the book of Acts, Peter is responding to the leaders of Israel when he says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day, but this is what has been uttered through the prophet Joel, that in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dreams. These are the last days. And John writes this, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. John goes on to talk about people leaving the church as an indication of living in the last days. Kind of like today. People leave the church. They forsake the faith. James says, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. The thing is, throughout the last 2,000 years of speculation concerning the last days, each generation has been correct, because the last days started 2,000 years ago in human reckoning. But the return of Christ has been delayed because of the love of Christ. When considering the last days, we must not forget 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 10, where Peter reminds us, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. We are in the last days. By biblical standards, it hasn't even been 3 days since Scripture warned us of the imminent return of Christ. We're just 3 days from the ascension. So how do we live in our last days? We began to look at this last week. And our text for this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we are going to discover 3 survival strategies for living a peaceful, victorious life in these last days. The beginning of 2 Timothy 3, Paul described the last days, a description which fits much of what we see in our society. And we return to verse 5, is Paul's initial response to how to live an abundant life in the last days by saying simply this, avoid such people, the people who exhibit the traits of being in the last days. Avoid people who exhibit corrupted affections, corrupted attitudes, and corrupted appearances. Now, in our text for this morning, Paul is going to build a case for how we are to live in the last days, not merely by avoiding some people, but by taking positive steps which liberate us to live godly, God-honoring, Christ-honoring lives while the world around us is falling apart. Our text is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. So how are we going to live godly lives in these last days? Paul is going to initially suggest that we enter a strategy where we follow godly leaders. Verses 10 to 13 of our text. In contrast to those who would follow people like Jannes and Jambres, who are mentioned in verse 8, Timothy is lauded for following Paul. For us, the message is pointed. Follow godly leaders. The principle is based upon the truth that we become like the people we associate with. This is simply something that works in life. The Oracle of Omaha, not necessarily someone to whom you want to go for theological instruction, but the Oracle of Omaha, this is a pop quiz, who is the Oracle of Omaha? Good, I'm glad you're with me here. So Warren Buffett, one of the richest men on earth, but also not necessarily a man who lives a godly life, just saying. For years, his wife lived in California, he lived in Nebraska with his mistress. They had a strange relationship. So don't go to Warren Buffett for theological advice. Go ahead and go to him for financial advice, but theologically I'm not so sure. Although this week he lost like $2 million in one day. $2 billion in one day. It was not a good day for Warren Buffett. But anyway, Warren Buffett, I digress. Get back to the notes, Johnson. He says this, the most important decision that you can make to build wealth is to marry wisely. Now, he went on to explain, if you marry a thrifty person, you will in turn most likely become a thrifty person. If you marry someone who has immorality, you will become someone who has no morality. We become like the people we spend time with. Therefore, if we are going to live godly, Christ-honoring lives in these last days, we must follow godly leaders. It does matter what our leaders are like. Character matters. If we follow ungodly leaders, we will become ourselves ungodly. If we follow men like Paul, who famously said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," then we are more likely to become like Christ. We need to do a character test for the individuals whom we choose to follow. It is not enough merely to have great biblical knowledge. You know, The devil has incredible biblical knowledge. He knows theology better than you do. He just chooses to be on the wrong side of it. It's not enough merely to look at someone and say, that person has great knowledge of Scripture if they are living an ungodly life. We become like the people we follow. Therefore, we must choose to follow godly leaders. Look again at our text. Paul says, follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. This is looking at the whole life of an individual, not merely their ability to exposit a particular text, but how do they live their life? I'm reminded of the old fanciful story of a farmer who was having difficulties with crows eating from his garden. He tried everything he could think of to no avail. He set up a scarecrow that just became a landing post. So he set up a shotgun. It was aimed at the garden, and it would be tripped by the weight of one of the birds landing on the arm of his scarecrow. And he went in his house after setting it up, and he waited, watching. And he went to the kitchen to get a glass of water, and all of a sudden, kaboom! He goes, oh yeah, I'm sure that's the scarecrow. He comes running out there, and he sees his pet parrot lying on its back saying, bad company, bad company. If you keep bad company, you're likely to get hurt. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. This is why, kids, pay attention here, kids, up here. This is why your parents tell you, be careful who you stick with. They want to know who your friends are, because bad company ruins good morals. And parents, if you're not telling your kids that, get with it. If we want to survive the last days, we have to follow godly leaders. We have an obligation to ourselves. We have an obligation to our children. We have an obligation to our grandchildren to choose carefully who we follow. Do they have correct theology? Does their conduct match their conversation? Do they have hope in life? Hope for Christ? Are they patient? Are they loving? Are they consistent? You know, there are individuals who have great theology, but horrible lives. Avoid such people. There are individuals who are great teachers or preachers who you wouldn't want to trust in a room alone with your daughter. Turn off the radio when they come on. Avoid such people. Follow those whose creed matches their conduct, whose orthopraxy is in line with their orthodoxy. Their walk is consistent with their talk. This is the type of person we are to follow if we are to survive the last day as fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. Paul again gives us a warning in verse 13. Evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So in our last days, be careful who you follow. The second strategy from our text. Continue in what you have learned. Paul says it this way, verses 14 and 15. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says, stay the course, stay on track, don't be tricked. There's a roadmap that will guide you in the last days. Remember your spiritual heritage, what you have learned, what you have firmly believed. Timothy had a rich heritage of spiritual upbringing. He was acquainted with the sacred writings. He was wise in spiritual matters because he had accepted the teaching of his mother and his grandmother. Paul admonishes him, and he admonishes us, to continue in what we have learned. Don't be swayed by teaching which doesn't gel with Scripture. Don't begin to question in the dark what God has revealed to you in the daylight. In these last days, remember what you were taught in your first days. And remember that society is driving away from faith. It's not just drifting away from faith. It is driving headlong away from faith. It will give the appearance of love. It will give the appearance of godliness. It will deny the power of godliness. The biblical standard of right and wrong haven't changed. Those standards remain true. What was sinful 2,000 years ago remains sinful today. And don't let society convince you otherwise. The Ten Commandments were not cultural expectations now outmoded by advances in modern thinking. Just because teachers of the world will tell you to grab for all the gusto you can get doesn't make it right. Just because the corrupt affections of society seem to win the day as people become lovers of money doesn't make it right. Just because society elevates self above all else, eliminating any outside standards of right and wrong, does not make society right. We don't give up the teaching of Scripture because some popular YouTuber offers a more socially attractive alternative. We return to the Scripture and we say, this is what I have learned, this is what I have committed to my life, continue in what you have learned, and as you are learning, be wise in who you are following. Test what they say in Scripture. Ask them that old Swedish phrase, "Var står det skrivet?" Which, when I pastored a church made up of primarily Swedish people, that made a lot of sense. That's, where stands it written? Don't tell me I have to do something or I can do something if I can't find it in Scripture. If we want to live lives which are God-honoring, lives which are Christ-like in the days that we live in our last days, we must follow the right leaders and we must continue in what we have learned, and most importantly, we must stay in the Word of God. And that is the next piece of advice Paul gives for living in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's a verse which many of you know by heart. One of the most well-known verses in evangelical circles. It's a passage which we look to for affirmation that the Bible is God's Word, and rightly so. This is the verse. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We've looked at this passage. And I guarantee you that I could preach a whole series just on these two verses. The importance of Scripture in our lives. The importance of biblical inspiration. The concept of what it means to be God-breathed. It is important for our understanding of the inspiration of Scripture and the validity of Scripture. But it gives us a strategy for living well in the last days. Follow godly leaders, continue what you have learned, and let the Word of God equip you. All Scripture is God-breathed, profitable, and makes us complete. This verse points to the inspiration of Scripture, the issue of being God-breathed. And I actually kind of rushed through the first two points of my message so I could get here, but not knowing if I would get there fast enough, I didn't prepare for 10 minutes left, but I'm glad I have 10 minutes because this is a key verse of Scripture. This issue of God breathed, this sense of inspiration, that the Holy Spirit directing men to write down the Word of God to mankind. utilizing the strengths and character of individuals, each writing to different audiences, using their own personality, God directing the words used to communicate His truth to mankind. It would take the better part of a series just to delve into this. And if you really want a fuller defense of the inspiration of Scripture, I encourage you to look at our website for a sermon that I preached in January of 2017 from this text. In that message, I talk about the inspiration of Scripture and what it means for us. What initially it means to us is that we have the Word of God given to us through mankind to be certain, but we have confidence in that Word, and if you read through the Scriptures, you will find that there are so many places where you cannot make stuff up to make it gel together. That over the thousands of years that Scripture was written, that it fits together so well, can only be because it is inspired by God. The reason we trust the Bible as the Word of God is because it is God-breathed. It's a claim that it makes, but you don't have to have that claim to believe it. Because you can read the Scripture and look at the 700 some odd prophecies just about Jesus Christ, which are fulfilled, written hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the fulfillment, and you can only come to the conclusion that this book is incredibly special. But the verse also speaks not just to the inspiration of Scripture, but to the importance of Scripture. Because it's nice to have a book that says it's God's writings. But if we never read it, we don't see the value of it, we don't put our nose in the book and actually study it. The text tells us that it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. There's a motivation for you to read God's Word, that you would be able to be one who is trained in righteousness, who finds that they are their life is corrected through the strength of the Word of God. That's the importance of Scripture, and I would suggest that because it's God's Word, it is not merely inspired and something that we look at as a wonderful book, but an authoritative book. It's not just a good book, but it has the authority to tell us what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. So it is inspired, it is important, but the point which I want to bring us to most today is found in verse 17. And that is the impact of Scripture. Verse 17 says, after he talks about the inspiration and the importance of Scripture, he says, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It is the impact of Scripture which liberates us and gives us the ability to live well in these last days. The reason that God has given His Word to us is so that men and women of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. In contrast to the description of the last days given at the beginning of chapter 3, Paul ends the chapter with this simple lesson. It is through the Word of God that we are made complete, competent, or capable of doing all that God has called us to do. It is through the Word of God that we are given all that we need to live well and serve well in these last days. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Speaking of the inspiration, the importance, and the impact of Scripture, cannot be stressed enough when considering how to survive the last days. But the last days are upon us. They have been upon us since they were first written about. 1,000 years is as a day in the eyes of the Lord. Because he does not wish any to perish, he delays his coming. I take comfort in that. For I have friends who, if the trumpet were to sound today, would spend eternity in damnation. And as much as I long for the return of Christ, I long more for the salvation of my friends. I long more for the salvation of my grandkids. As much as I want to hear the trumpet sound, I want to see the world transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. I want to see those individuals who irritate the fire out of me come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we live in the last days. In this strange tension of praying that Christ would come now and praying that he would wait until our loved ones are saved. And so we live in the last days, God-honoring, Christ-centered lives. It is the Word of God which gives us confidence in the days of difficulty. It is the Word of God that gives us comfort in the days of difficulty. It is the Word of God that gives us character for the days of difficulty. We are in the last days. And as dismal as that sounds, for 2,000 years, believers have survived the continued descent of society while waiting for and praying for the return of Christ, at the same time doing all that they can to see others embrace Christ as their Savior. We know that he delays for the benefit of mankind, and we know that we can thrive even in the midst of the last days because he has given us godly leaders to follow. We can survive and thrive in the midst of the last days because he has given us teaching which we can rely upon. We can live and thrive in the last days, most importantly, because he has given us his word to guide us through difficult times. We are in the last days. We pray that God would delay long enough that our loved ones would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And at the end of the day, we say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come." Let us pray. Father, I ask that you would bring our loved ones to faith in Jesus Christ. We ask that you would answer our 5-second prayer. Heavenly Father, please draw a Christian to Jesus and make him an ambassador of Christ. But even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come and make all things right. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.